Might we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to read verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In keeping what we've been hearing, I'd like to speak a little bit on the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That takes me in too. The will of God here is linked with Christ. If we were not in Christ, we know nothing about the will of God, nor could we know anything about it. Only those who have given up their own will and have trusted Christ can possibly appreciate or understand or carry out the will of God today. I'd like to read a verse in Ephesians chapter 2 that I think every Christian should consider. I remember many years ago, as a young man, this verse was much before me. And I thank God for the exercise or help it was. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that salvation is nothing that we do, and we tell people to stop their doing and let God do something. I think we need to tell Christians the same. In this sense, notice the next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's in a new creation. If he's going to enjoy his Christian life, it will not be from the things on earth. It must be from the things in heaven. We read that very clearly in the third chapter of Colossians. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Until we have learned the fact that we have died and our life is hid with Christ in God, we'll never understand Christianity. Because in the cross of Christ, we died to old creation, this creation. Everything in it was nailed to that cross. And what we have is in a man who has been raised from the dead, and he now sits at the right hand of God. And if we're not looking to that man, and if we're not trusting that man, and trusting his power and his life to live in us, we haven't learned Christianity. We need to get some of the basic teachings of Christianity to understand them. We know so little about the foundation truths. We're so little concerned about them. In fact, we're afraid of them. And then we wonder why we're getting nowhere fast. Beloved, this is a practical book. And when you and I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the life that we're going to live now and live forever. And the way we live it now is going to depend on what we're going to have over there. I'd like to turn to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained. I should have said something about that word ordained there. What does it mean God has foreordained good works? It just means in simple language that God has foreordained and He has planned the life of every Christian. You've been elected of God and chosen in Christ, and so have I if we're saved. And God has planned every step of the way. And do you know why we're not getting on so well? We're not taking the steps. And this portion we're going to read in 1 Peter speaks of those steps. 1 Peter chapter 2. Reading at verse 21. For hereunto were we ye called. You know, it's speaking here of the servant. And what's said to the servant here is said to us too. We're his servants. Maybe we better read it from verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. That's the way we should be subject to God. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when we be buffeted for our faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when we do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. What is the Christian life? It's following Christ's steps. He has left us an example that we should follow his steps. And that should be the outcome of baptism. I'm going to break in at the 21st verse of the next chapter, 1 Peter 3:21, that like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How many of us put baptism or link baptism with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? We know it's the burying of the old life, but it's the answer of a good conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because the reason we bury the old life, we have a new life, and that life is the life of a man in heaven, raised from the dead. And the life that we're to live is the life of a man in heaven that's raised from the dead, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And if angels and authority and powers are made subject unto him, we certainly know we too have been. Now we're to follow his steps. It doesn't say we're to follow in his steps. A father may walk out to the barn on the farm and take big steps in the snow, and you can see where he's gone. The little boy may say, well, I'm going to follow in his steps. But he gets out there and the steps are so much further ahead than what he can reach. He can't follow in his steps, but he can follow them. And beloved, you and I may not be able to follow in his steps, but we can follow his steps. And that's what the Word of God calls us to do, follow the steps of our Savior. He walked here before we did. He left an example for us to follow. And the trouble with most of us, at times, we're looking at other people's steps and trying to make steps of our own instead of following his steps. I remember when I first went out preaching it, the Lord had showed me some of these things. I went down to a little town, and They were having a Sunday school convention, and they asked me to speak at it. And I know most of the young folks singing it weren't even saved, but they were singing, trying to walk in the steps of the Master. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Master. Many of us are discouraged. We've been trying to walk in the steps of the Master. And why have we failed? Perhaps we haven't noticed those steps. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ's life might be divided into three steps. The first one is in Hebrews 10. Maybe you'd like to turn to it. Hebrews 10, verse 5. This was his first step when he stepped down to earth. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Here's a man who had a planned life. It was planned by his Father in heaven. And when he took the first step, he took this book and he said, Father, everything that this book says I'm to accomplish, I want accomplished. Lo, I come in the volume of this book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. We'll take another verse to notice the second step in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work. He was talking to the woman. And they said they had gone to buy bread. And he told them he had meat to eat that they didn't know anything about. In verse 34, he tells us what that meat was. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You go and buy bread, my meat is to finish his will. It's his will that I... See this woman that I talk to people along the way. Sometimes we get discouraged and we don't talk to enough people. I used to be that way myself. Thought I had to talk to everybody who came along. There's a better way to do that. It's to wait on the Lord and be willing to talk to him as the Lord opens the way. And if he doesn't open the way, be just as thankful you didn't talk to him because you might have said too much. And say, Lord, grant that my deportment and my life may speak to them today because I didn't have anything to say. You didn't give me anything to say. And when the Lord doesn't give you anything to say, it's just well to keep your mouth shut, isn't it? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I've only had one purpose in life. My Father has planned my life, and I want to live that life according to his plan. And I want to finish my work. No doubt that's why Paul could say at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. We'll see that in just a moment. But there's one other step in Luke 22. We're to walk as he walked. Luke 22 and 42. He's in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood.
falling down to the ground. Beloved, when I read something like this, I'm ashamed of myself.
And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. They were sleeping for sorrow, but they couldn't enter into his mind. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, if I must go to that cross, if I must stretch out my hands, if I must stretch out my feet, if this is the only way to save those souls I love, and I know it is, Father, not my will, thy will be done. Beloved, these are the steps of our Savior. We may think we have hard times and trials, but he's walked a path that most of us know nothing about. And he's gone into heaven and he's sat down at the right hand of God. And what's he there for? To encourage you. To encourage me. I think one of the saddest things in Christianity today is that we have sung so many hymns about the cross, we forget he's in heaven. Jesus, keep me near the cross. And that cross is empty, just as empty as the tomb. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand, a shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land. And I want to sit in a weary land under a shadow of a rock. Oh, beloved friends, I want to walk in the shadow of a man that lives, that bears the marks of that cross in his hands and in his feet, the very same Jesus. And as I look at those marks in his hands and walk in his shadow, I cannot forget his cross. I cannot forget his love. I cannot forget his suffering. But I am walking with one who understands my suffering, my trials, my need. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted as we are, sin apart. Seeing we have such an high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. You know what that is? That's our life, our testimony in this world. How do we hold it fast? By seeing Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, sitting at the right hand of God with all power and all might. He said to his disciples, when he rose from the dead, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and behold, I am with you. And when he got through with that, Mark says he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And beloved, if we need anything today, we need men with a vision of a Savior who died and was buried and rose again and lives, and who says, all power is given unto me. Go, and I'll be with you. That's the need of the hour. Why is it we have so few giving their lives to the service of the Lord, and so few to preach the gospel, and so few to minister to God's people? Is it the things of this life that's keeping us back? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. The head of the church who guides every member is sitting in heaven, and we're looking back here somewhere where he used to be. How does my hand know what to do? You say the head tells it. How does my foot know what to do? The head tells it. How are you going to know what to do? The head will have to tell you. Don't go running to a preacher to tell you. He doesn't know any more than you do. Maybe not as much. When he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. We need gifts today, don't we? How are we going to get these gifts? They come from the risen head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. He gives evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry. Why is it there's such a need and so few to go? Isn't it because we haven't learned what one dear sister learned when Jesus was here? You know, there's one home on earth that Jesus always loved to go to. You can have that kind of a home if you want to. Doesn't matter whether you live on a farm or in the city, you can have that kind of a home. Jesus loved to be in that home. There were two sisters there. And when he came, one thought, well, I've got to give something to eat. She said, you've got to live. And the other said, I want to hear what he's got to say to me. I'd like to know what's on his heart that I could do something to please him. Oh, beloved, there wasn't anything the Lord Jesus wanted when he was here than someone who'd listen and someone who could sympathize or have fellowship with him in what was before him. He said, Peter, or disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem to suffer and bleed and die. Peter says, Lord, get that out of your head. That'll never happen. You're not going to do that at all. And he went into this home, and while one was making the dinner, another sat at his feet. And he said, Mary, I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to suffer, and men are going to take me, and I'm going to die. Mary went to get this box of ointment to bring her all and poured it on his feet. And the whole house was filled with that ointment. And someone said, what waste. What a waste of time. She's always sitting there, and now look what she's doing. She can't help here, she can't help there, now look at what she's doing. There was one who understood it. She lived in fellowship with one man, and he understood it. Beloved, it's only what we do in this world in fellowship with that one man that's going to count anything. All we do because we like to do it and want to do it, if it isn't for his glory, it won't mean much. The Lord Jesus understood it. He said, against the day of my burying, she's kept this. And wherever you preach the gospel, brethren, do you ever tell that story? You know, I can never think of Mary when I preach the gospel. I don't tell that story. That which this woman hath done shall be spoken of. Yes, when we talk about Mary, we remember what she did. The Lord said, Mary has chosen the good part. It shall not be taken from her. There is a good part, and you know what it is? To get a little time for the Lord. To get a little time to let the Lord talk to you. We do a lot of talking ourselves. Brother, sister, when did the Lord talk to you last? What has the Lord ever told you to do? Oh, you say, I've been doing a lot of things for him. Yes, I was too one time. I had 5 or 6 jobs every Sunday. Traveled 43 miles on a streetcar. Couldn't go home for dinner or supper. Came home 11:30 at night, all tired out. One day I was praying. I said, Lord, I want to sit at your feet till you talk to me. And I was saying, Lord, help me to do this, and Lord, help me to do that, and Lord, help me. Lord, so where'd you get all those jobs? Well, I said, Lord, I picked them up. He said, is that my way? You pick up jobs and say, Lord, come on over and help me do them. Is that my way? Or do I get the jobs and then he say, here's a job I want you to do for me, and I'll be with you. And I said, Lord, I'm all wrong. 13 years saved, and I'm all wrong. Oh, I'm glad the Lord did use me a little bit during those 13 years. I was sincere. I wanted to please Him. It's wonderful how gracious the Lord is sometimes. I can look back to people I led to the Lord over 50 years ago. You know some of them. Sister Miss Joe Parker, James Humphrey, Chicago. Number of others I led to the Lord as a teenager. And then others after I was working and wanted to serve the Lord. Mrs. James Kennedy, some others like that. Others around the country. Yes, the Lord was good. But you know, that day I saw something in those hands of the Lord that I never saw before. I won't say that I literally saw His hands, but I know I was present. I know He talked to me just as really He did to Mary. And beloved, He can, and He does. Probably we don't talk enough about these things for people to know. The Lord will talk to you and will guide you. And finally I said, Lord, I know what's wrong. I'm afraid You want to send me to China. I don't want to go. I got 65 relatives here and a good home and a good job, and I want to serve You. But I want to serve You here. But Lord, I'm so miserable and I'm carrying such a big burden, I can't go any further. And I made a decision, a new one that day. I said, Lord, if You'll go with me and walk the streets of Hong Kong, I'd rather be there with You than here. He never sent me to Hong Kong. He didn't want me to go there. He sent me to Indiana, where four old sisters have been praying 10 to 15 to 20 years. The Lord had sent someone to preach the gospel. And left four assemblies where each of those sisters were, and they're going on today. Sent me a sick wife to Arizona that we may see work done there. And when I was there, a man, his wife from Tennessee, got saved. And that brought me to Tennessee. We've seen two assemblies there started in the last 10 or 12 years on their own, ready to go. And one of the families there have a daughter out in Buffalo, Wyoming, on a ranch. And how'd I happen to come here? Well, one of our brethren here asked me to stop off and see him. I was up in Buffalo and had to be in Fort Dodge the 13th. And so I said, well, I'll come by. I've got to stop somewhere. Here you're having a conference. Well, I guess it's only being in the way the Lord led me, because it hadn't been planned far ahead. But there's only one thing we need. You know what that is? God's will. That's the only thing that's worth anything. That's the only thing that means anything. That's the only thing that counts anything. It's God's will. Some people may take that the day they're saved. I think my father must have taken it right at the time he was saved, maybe the first week or two, if not when he got saved, because he only had one desire as a businessman, and that was God's will. Anything God put on his heart, I see that man do it. No matter how low the till was, if someone was in need, he could go and borrow something from the butcher across the street. Business. Could preach on the corner, half block this way and a block that way. If he lost a sale, well, the Lord sent me two more. Yes, he lived by faith as much as any preacher I ever knew. Been a great example to me when I got in a tight place and got a little bit nervous. Say, well, your dad wouldn't do that. And I said, Lord, You don't want me to do it either. So away he went. Wonderful thing if you have your eye on the Lord and He tells you to do something, you go in His strength. That's the only way to go. Not my will, but thine be done. 1 John 2:17 says, He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Beloved, this should be our concern. May God make it the concern of all of us. See you at times.